This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And as you can hear, we have an audience with us here in Studio 4A to help us conclude our part of a special series that's been running on all the NPR news programs this week called Crossing the Divide. As that name suggests, this series is focused on bringing people together with different points of view. But for much of this hour, we'll take a different tack and talk about the value of partisanship. With us are Donna Brazile, campaign manager for Al Gore in 2000, and Ed Gillespie, former Republican Party chairman. In the audience are students from universities in the Washington, D.C. area, Howard, George Washington, Catholic, Georgetown, American, and the George Mason School of Public Policy. They include college Republicans and Democrats, and if they reflect opinion polls, they also include the growing segment of young people registered as independents, people who say that partisan bickering is one of the things they don't like about the political parties. Later in the program, Donna Brazile and Ed Gillespie will stay with us to talk about the 2008 presidential campaign with the Political Junkie. If you have questions about the candidates dropping out or signing up, the effect of earlier primaries, or the politics of Iraq, you can send us email now. The address is talk@npr.org. And use that same address if you want to praise or bury partisanship. We surely want to hear competitive ideas, but maybe not schoolyard taunts. The email address again is talk@npr.org. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. We'll also take questions from the audience here in the studio. And we'll begin with Ed Gillespie. Why is partisanship important?
Well, partisanship is important because parties are based on political philosophy, and there are different philosophies how we should approach the proper role of government, or how those in government should approach governing. And if it weren't for that difference, we wouldn't have political parties, obviously. We'd just flip a coin on election day, and Donna could call heads, and I'd call tails, and whoever won could claim the election. But the fact is the policies are different that are pursued by the two parties largely, and they're important, and they're very important, obviously, in a country as big and as diverse as one like the United States of America.
Donna Brazile, the competition of ideas, that's what it's all about?
Absolutely. It's also about allowing the American people to see an array of ideas and solutions and perhaps ways that we can, you know, work together behind some common goal. But like Ed, I believe that partisanship at times is a good thing, especially when your party is guided by principles, when your party has a unique vision that they would like to offer the American people. And I believe it's important that we have leaders that are able to offer those principles without compromising. But if there are challenges that force us to look at some alternatives, our leaders should be willing and flexible enough to come up with alternatives.
Of course, your party is guided by principles. The other guys are low-down rats.
Absolutely. Snakes in the grass.
Ed Gillespie, does it come down at some point to just winning, going out to win?
Well, sure. I mean, that's what campaigns are about, winning. And but the fact is, I would rather be right and lose than be wrong and win. And,
really?
And I think the fact is, you know, when a majority of voters aren't with you on an issue, if you don't believe in it, you shouldn't espouse it. And I always say it's better. The best thing in politics is to run as who you are and things you believe in and win. And the worst thing in politics is to run as who you're not and things you don't believe in and lose. So I guess somewhere in there is running on things you don't believe in as somebody you're not and winning. The fact is, I think most politicians, most of the people that I know on both sides of the aisle do espouse what they believe in. Sometimes you trim your sails a little bit depending on your voters. But the fact is, I know a lot of folks. I know a lot more than I used to, who run and lost, but feel good about it because they, you know, they said what they believed and stood up for principle.
Yet, Donna Brazile, we've seen endless examples of, for example, in the run-up to this most recent congressional election, parties on both sides. I'm not trying to get after either one, but trying to stage votes in Congress on issues that they knew they would lose, but they'd rather have the issue than the bill. We've had endless examples of name calling, for example. Where does that fit in?
Well, look, that's part of the political process today, and many voters, of course, are rejecting it because they believe it's like poison. in the well. And as a result of it, I think voters have been turned off to our two major political parties. And as you mentioned, a large number of our young people and some others are now, you know, becoming independent. But look, I think it's important that parties establish their priorities, that they go out there and they defend, you know, their values, that they vote in a manner that reflects their conscience. And ultimately, the voters will decide whether or not the parties are just playing games or offering real solutions. And I keep going back to Terry Schiavo and that vote that was called in the middle of the night on a weekend, and I kept saying to myself, I cannot believe with all of the problems that our great country faced today, the lawmakers are coming back tonight to do something that they know they have no business doing, but yet they did it because it was good politics, and that was wrong.
Well, I mean, I just say I think a lot of the members who cast that vote cast a vote on principle. Frankly, I'm not sure it was good politics. I think that that they did it because they felt there was a moral issue at stake. That said, I think to the point, Neil, that you made about holding votes to score points as opposed to solve problems, you know, both parties have paid a price for that. I always say, you know, the Democrats ran on the need for a prescription drug benefit one too many times instead of getting it done. And you know, we had votes in the last Congress that we brought up that we knew at the end of the day weren't going to, you know, become law. And the voters, I think they see that. And you can do that some. I mean, I think it is important to highlight the differences, too, sometimes between the two parties. But if you do it too much, the voters are going to call your hand on it.
All right. Let's get some questions in from listeners, including listeners here in the audience. If you're out there listening on the radio, 800-989-8255 is our phone number. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Our guests are Ed Gillespie, a former chairman of the Republican Party, Donna Brazile, who ran Al Gore's campaign in the year 2000. And let's get a question in from the audience here in Studio 4A.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. My name is Chris Urban, and I'm a public policy major at George Mason University. And my question to the panel is with respect to the media. The other day after the President's State of the Union address, I was driving to work, and I happened to have satellite radio. And on one channel, there's Talk Left. The channel is actually called Talk Left. And on the other, it's Talk Right. So I listened for about 5 minutes to Talk Left, listened for about 5 to 10 minutes to Talk Right.
Oh, I was hoping it wasn't stereo.
Well, absolutely. So then after that, I formed my own opinion based on, you know, both sides of the aisle, more or less, in terms of what they were talking about with respect to the President's State of the Union speech. Now, when you look at the networks, you have Fox News, you have MSNBC, and I just think because of their partisan viewpoints that they've really exacerbated the issue in terms of partisanship to the point that people are really kind of getting disgusted and formulating more independent views. And I just wonder to what extent you would agree with that fact.
So how much has satellite television news and the 24-hour news cycle affected this, Donna Brazile?
Well, as a pundit.
Working for CNN from time to time.
And Vice President Cheney yesterday called us a bunch of talking heads. Let me say this. I think on one hand it's been very healthy to have the kind of debates that we've had in this country over the last couple of years with the invention of the 24-hour news cycle, the Netroots, the blog community. I think it's healthy in a democracy that we're able to communicate, to talk, to differ. But, you know, the where I draw the line, and this is why I have so much respect for Ed Gillespie and many other Republican leaders, not all, and I'm sure Ed could say the same on my side, Al, is that I draw the line when people somehow or another confuse your disagreement with their policies as somehow or another being weak on national security, questioning our patriotism, saying to the American people that we are flawed. I mean, basically, you know, all that personal criticism. I like a healthy debate. I love the boxing match. You know, there are many nights I go home at night and I am so wounded from the conversations that I've had on TV that my dog Chip has to help me lick them up. But often it's good, it's spirited, because I learn something when I debate. I learn something when I go back and forth. And I say to myself at the end of the day, did Baby Cannon make a good point? Did Bill Bennett say something I perhaps should go home and think about? You know, did Ed say something that, you know, make me, you know, might, you know, go back and perhaps take a class at Catholic? No. But the truth of the matter is that it's healthy and it's vibrant and it's good, and this is what we do in America. We talk, we discuss, we debate, and then we come together.
Mm-hmm. Ed Gillespie?
Yeah, I agree with that. But I'd say the 24/7 news cycle has had a big impact. I think the blogs have had a big impact. I think the fact is that there is a polarizing effect from a lot of that. I agree with Donna. It's evident, Donna. I'm sure it's evident to the folks in this room. Donna and our friends, and we don't agree. There are some things we do agree on, but most we don't agree on. But I do think we have to start with a premise in the political arena that the person on the other side is in it for the right reasons. Donna Brazile loves this country, and it's evident every day. I think she's wrong on the policies. I don't think her policies that she promotes, most of them are good for the country. She doesn't think mine are either. We have to at least start with that premise and then have the debate. But the media, I think, tends to, because they're driven by ratings and numbers and they like the personality clashes and they exacerbate those and they do make it more personal, I think it has a negative impact in the debate. But the fact is the media in this country, we're kind of going full circle. You know, the newspaper in Waterbury, Connecticut is the Waterbury Republican. Mm-hmm. In Little Rock, it's the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. And that reflects where they were when they were founded and which party they were aligned with. And you're seeing now, I think, in the media, especially in the blogs and talk radio and even some of the cable networks, more of an alignment with the philosophy. And it does have an effect of, I think, polarizing the political debate sometimes.
I have to say, does CNN like it when MSNBC and Fox get into a spat because they're in the middle, or do they not like it because they're not getting any attention? I don't know. But the one that came up lately, Donna Brazile, was the allegation about Barack Obama attending a madrasa in Indonesia that was supposedly leaked by the Hillary Clinton campaign. It wasn't a madrasa. The Hillary Clinton campaign denies that they leaked anything. This stuff just bounces around, and somehow that allegation is never going to go away.
And it was a smear on both candidates. It was a smear. It was an attempt to smear at Barack Obama and an attempt to smear at Hillary Clinton. And thank God CNN had the foresight to go and get a reporter to track down the story, and it was an outright lie. It's too bad that Insight Magazine has not retracted its story and Fox has not also apologized to Senator Obama.
We're going to take a short break. We're talking with Ed Gillespie and Donna Brazile about the value of partisanship. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. I'm Neil Cohn, and it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And today we're continuing the NPR special series, Crossing the Divide.
I think of myself as a middle-of-the-road Methodist.
This is an Afro-American congregation. This is
I don't fall into either of those categories.
All this week, we've talked about how to bring people with different viewpoints together, including Democrats and Republicans. Today, we're talking about the value of partisanship. Our guests are Ed Gillespie, former chairman of the Republican National Committee, Donna Brazile, campaign manager for Al Gore, and Joe Lieberman back in 2000. With us in the audience in Studio 4A are students from universities in the Washington, D.C. area, Howard, George Washington, Catholic, Georgetown, American, and the George Mason School of Public Policy. They include college Republicans and Democrats and independents. We'll hear questions from them this hour. And we welcome your calls and emails as well, 800-989-8255, if you'd like to join us. 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Let's see if we can get a caller on the line. And this is Mike. Mike is with us from Polkville, North Carolina.
Well, I'm in Columbia, South Carolina at the moment, but that's correct, Neil. Just a comment about the partisanship struggle. The partisanship struggle to me is about, one is about power and the power to implement your policy. But I also reflect back 30 years ago, I worked for a Democratic Party at a state level in the Midwest. And one of the things that drove many of the people that I worked with was the notion that there was some patronage involved when all things were settled. And we wanted our guy to win because maybe I'd be an AA in Washington or something like that. And I think it's the patronage component is something that's missing here because the power to implement policy also brings with it the power, it seems to me, to dispense patronage.
How much of is patronage an element of the partisanship, Donna Brazile?
Oh, it is a small part of it. Look, there's no question that when you win an election, you hope not only to put your person in office, but you also hope to surround him or her with people who share their values and share their convictions and share their values and, I mean, their ideas. And so there's no question that patronage plays a large role, but by and large, what drives partisanship in this country is not just the desire to win, but the desire to govern and govern in a way that hopefully, you know, bring the country together and keep the country strong and prosperous.
Ed Gillespie, is it the desire to foment your ideas or prevent the other side's ideas from taking hold, do you
well,
think,
that drives partisanship? Both. That is the fact is that, like I say, I mean, I think, you know, our party has the right ideas and our party has the wrong ideas. That's
sure.
what it's about. But I think most people are driven by ideas. Some people do want to, you know, get a job at the end of a campaign. That's understandable, especially the younger folks who are involved. And it's also true that personnel is policy. You have to have people who share your views if you're going to implement the policies that you want to enact. So, you know, one person's patronage is another person's, you know, policy agenda.
Mm-hmm. Mike, thanks for the call.
Yeah, Neil, just real quick, not taking away from anything your guests say, the thing that's driven me from being a Democrat to a Republican and being disappointed with both of the conventional parties and the standard parties is the consistent ad hominem attacks that have been so much part of the discussion in recent years. And I'm now registered independent, and I look at the people and what they do and trying to ignore so much of what they say because, for me, partisanship is appropriate and right on, but the ad hominem attacks, they've got to clean up their act because they're not gaining respect of this guy anyway.
All right. Mike, thanks very much.
You bet.
Let's go back to the studio here in Washington. Foray, this Mike to my left.
Hi. My name is Gary Lavacri. I'm the chairman of the College Republicans at the George Washington University. And my question for the guests, and probably best directed at Chairman Gillespie, do we think there's a double standard in the way in the media's discussion of this excessive partisanship? More specifically, are Republicans constantly told that they need to water down their principles and be more conciliatory, where it's okay for Democrats to be partisan? Your thoughts, sir. Thank you.
Well, like many Republicans do have a concern about bias in the media. I always say, you know, like most Republicans, I hate the media. I happen to like reporters, but I do have some concerns. I tried to make this point when I was chairman of the RNC during the 2004 cycle. I mean, there was a lot of vitriolic comments directed toward President Bush Howard Dean, I think, has some pretty incendiary and personal rhetoric as chairman of the Democratic National Committee. Again, one of the reasons I respect Donna is she doesn't engage in that. I mean, she'll take you head on issues, but she's not one who engages in ad hominem attacks. But I do think the media needs to be more balanced in calling the hand. I always call them the referees, and they swallow their whistle sometimes when Democrats are personal in their attacks against President Bush. Some of our folks are personal in their attacks against President Clinton, and there's a legitimate point in calling their hand on that, but the hand needs to be called too when people call the President of the United States, I'm not even going to repeat some of the things that he has been called by Democratic officials.
And let me just say that, look, I don't walk into any room with clean hands. I've been involved in politics too long, but. I have engaged in mud fest, mud slinging. I've thrown a lot of spitballs in my day. In fact, in my youth, I had my time.
Youthful indiscretion.
Yes,
youthful indiscretion.
Oh, my God. I can't even start the list. That's why I'm Catholic. I'll just confess. But the truth of the matter is that, yes, I've done some slimy things in my day, and I'm not proud of it. But I do believe that it's time that we all act like adults, that we conduct ourselves in a manner that allow us to have a real, genuine dialogue, even when we disagree. That's what's good about America. And I enjoy debating the issues and how we come up with solutions that work. On the other hand, these attacks, whether they're on President Bush or former President Clinton or Mrs. Clinton or Barack Obama, it's distasteful. I try to find something good in everybody. I listened to Senator Brownback this weekend, his announcement. Now, you know, I don't agree with Senator Brownback on anything, perhaps other than the clothes he wears, because, you know, the man is a nice dresser. But I tell you, when I heard him speak and the tone and what he was saying about his values and God and his beliefs, I had to listen to him. Now, I'm not going to sign up for the campaign, and God knows he will never get my vote, but I have to tell you this. I was impressed by him. I think some days I ask my Republican friends, I said, you know, have you sat down and listened to Hillary lately? I mean, have you met her? Do you know her? I mean, it's important that we get to know people, and often we don't do that. We just attack, attack, attack.
Would you say that, Donna Brazile, if you were in somebody's campaign now?
Oh, yes.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah. I'm a free thinker now. Oh, yeah, I've come full circle. I've learned from my mistakes. I've been burned, too, and I've been rebuked. But most importantly, I've learned some important lessons. And I tell you, one of the lessons I learned, and it was just a recent lesson, but it was a painful lesson. I learned during Hurricane Katrina that I couldn't just attack the Bush administration or for that, you know, the governor of Louisiana, the mayor. I had to work with them. I had to talk to them. I had to find ways to ensure that they were going to do the right thing by my hometown and my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, that was a humbling lesson, but it was a good lesson.
Yeah,
for
if
me.
You're calling them incompetent, ridiculous, they're not going to
help you. Or racist, yeah, or stupid, or stuff like that. That didn't make sense. I wanted their help. I wanted their support. And I wanted to try to bring my city back together so that my people could go back home.
Here's an email we got from Bob in Sparks, Nevada. I'd be interested in hearing your guests comment on this observation that politicians aren't allowed to change their minds once they've made a statement. It seems we don't allow anyone to say, I was wrong to hold that position, now I hold this one. People who make perfectly valid decisions to reverse themselves are marked as wishy-washy, indecisive, when all they're doing is expressing a perfectly natural learning process. Ed Gillespie?
Well, there is. I think there are times when you learn new information or change a position because circumstances have changed, and I think voters accept that. I think if there's a pattern, if you see in a politician somebody who is over here one day because the polls show this, and then over here the next day because the polls have changed, people make – you know, the American people are very, I think, smart in assessing character and determining you know, whether or not people are qualified, not just in terms of their policies, especially at the presidential level. You know, the American people mm-hmm. make an assessment, is this person qualified to be the president of the United States? So they have what it takes. And if they see that in a candidate or if they see that in a candidate, that kind of a pattern of it, then they'll see wishy-washy. But if they see someone who has thought through something and come to a different conclusion, I think they'll accept that.
Donna?
Look, if you change your mind on a fundamental principle that most people believe is, you know, a bottom line, a right versus wrong. Yeah, I can understand people calling you out and saying you're a flip-flopper. But if it's, you know, looking at the nuances of public policy, I mean, it's like making sausage. All of y'all know that. And if you need to add another ingredient or you need to figure out a way to fry it up differently or spice it up, you know, why not? You know, that's what politics should be about. But instead, if you change your mind, you get, you know, hit with flip-flopper.
Hmm. Let's get a question in from the microphone on my right.
Good afternoon, Neil and panel. My name is Kevin Walling. I'm the president of the College of Democrats at Catholic U. In the spirit of bipartisanship, it's great to be in the presence of Ed Gillespie, a former alumni of Catholic U. My question is, last Tuesday I watched with great interest the State of the Union, and I was really struck by the bipartisanship at the beginning, at least, between the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and the President. It was really neat to see the President really reach out to her, and especially in mentioning her father, who was a congressman, and really kind of create that bridge between the two of them. I wondered, panel, if you could talk about their relationship as the leader in the Congress and as the President of the United States, and how is it different from the relationship that the President had with Speaker of the House, Denny Hassert?
Ed, why don't you start on this?
Yeah, I don't know much about the nature of the relationship between the President and the Speaker. I thought it was a nice grace note from the President at the beginning of that, the high honor and distinct privilege of being the first President to say Madam Speaker was nice. And look, as an American, I know a lot of Republicans in the House Republicans, they're proud that a woman is a Speaker of the House. They wish it was a Republican woman, but it's nice. I mean, it's a great historical moment, and it was nice for the country. But I think that obviously they're going to have to find some common ground on some things. The Speaker Hastert, former Speaker Hastert, was really the bulwark of the Republican policy apparatus. I mean, he was a real workhorse, is a real workhorse as speaker, I think, longest-serving Republican speaker. And the president counted heavily on Speaker Hastert. I don't think it's a big secret that the speaker was inclined to leave Congress before the last election, and the president really wanted him to stay because he counted on him so heavily. So we'll see how it goes with Nancy Pelosi. Interestingly enough, when Newt Gingrich became speaker, he and Bill Clinton actually had a pretty good working relationship, sometimes frustrating, but they managed to get a lot of things done. I think you may see that with Nancy Pelosi and President Bush.
President Bush started off his presidency back in 2001 by inviting Ted Kennedy over for a movie and had some popcorn. I suggest he, get out the kettle and pop some popcorn and call Pelosi over and invite her over and to talk and to develop that relationship.
We're talking about the value of partisanship as part of NPR's special series, Crossing the Divide. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Donna Brazile, I just wanted to follow up on that just a moment. It's been noted by many that in that generous recognition of Nancy Pelosi, the president also referred to her political party as the Democrat Party, which is for decades, Republicans have been getting under Democrat skin using that term. And a lot of people interpret it as, yes, I'm being nice, but here's a wink to my base.
Yeah, I saw that because I had a text of the speech and I kept saying, Democratic, Democratic. And the president, and I said, well, the president has a reputation for being a stubborn person and unwilling to show a little flexibility, but we're the Democratic Party and we're proud of it.
Right. Now let's get a question over here, the mic to my left.
Hello, my name is Shilpa Joshi. I'm a student at American University. And reflecting back on the 2004 presidential elections, I feel, and a lot of my peers, I think, were turned off by the fact that during the course of the elections, there were many issues that needed to be addressed by the two candidates, as healthcare, education, the war. But instead, there was these diversive tactics instead to polarize the voting public into maybe the Swift vote incident that occurred, or asking the presidential candidates on their opinions on topics that were maybe not of such national imminent importance. What is your feeling on this?
Mm-hmm. Donna, why don't you start?
I think presidential campaigns these days, I know, and Ed can tell you, we spend a lot of time in campaigns trying to figure out how to have a conversation with the American people, talk about all of the great issues, to engage the American people in a dialogue. And then, of course, the media come up and say, well, who wrote the speech? Did you focus group this? Did you pay for a poll? And then we get into the process. We get into the who wrote it? How did it come about? We need to find a way for presidential candidates, as Mrs. Clinton said the other day, to have that dialogue, to go talk mm-hmm. to the voters. I mean, one of the things that Al Gore wanted to do in 2000, and I think to a large degree, I'm sure John Kerry and everyone, he wanted to talk about the environment. He wanted to talk about housing. He wanted to talk about health care.
Yeah.
And yet people wanted to talk about, did he invent the Internet? No, but, he had a role in it. So mm-hmm. that's life.
Yeah, with respect, and this is to you both, and this is not one party or the other, or one campaign or the other, candidates want to stay on message. The media and the audiences they represent don't necessarily want to hear just what the candidate has to say that day. Ed Gillespie?
Well, there's no doubt about that, and the agenda setting is one of the priorities of any campaign. But I do think – I think issues were talked about in the presidential campaign, and they'll be talked about in 2008. I think health care will be probably the defining domestic policy issue of the 2008 presidential campaign. But the fact is, you talk about the Swift votes. Swift votes, I had no control over what the Swift votes did as chairman of the Republican National Committee. And in fact, somebody said, why don't you tell them to take it down? It's a violation of federal law for me to tell them to run an ad or not to run an ad under the Bipartisan Campaign Finance Reform Act, the McCain-Feingold bill. And the fact is the MoveOn.org and the things that they injected into the debate, that wasn't the Democrat Party. did that?
You will not be invited for any gumbo.
That was, these 527s under the new current campaign finance law can also drive the debate, and they create a lot of distractions.
Our guests are Ed Gillespie, former chairman of the Republican Party, and Donna Brazile, the former campaign manager for Gore Lieberman 2000. She was the first African-American ever to lead a major presidential campaign. We need to take a short break, and we're going to ask our listeners out there with us on the radio to bear with us. When we come back, we're going to be taking questions with our political junkie, Ken Rudin. Ed Gillespie and Donna Brazile have kindly agreed to stay with us. If you have questions about the race for 08, the effect of earlier primaries, or the politics of Iraq, big vote the other day in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after the break. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.